And good morning. You have tuned in to 88.5 KRFY, The Morning Show, and thanks for doing that and joining us this morning, this Wednesday, February 1st, first Wednesday of February. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts, and hi, Chris Bessler, my co-host.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's really a beautiful, beautiful day. It was so pretty out with the sun coming up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it was some gorgeous night sky happening last night and hopefully again tonight.
We have a great show planned this morning. We're really happy you've tuned in to the morning show. Chris, why don't you tell us, our listeners, who our guests are this morning?
We're talking today with two of the counselors from Sandpoint High School, Cindy Albertson, she's a head counselor, as well as Geraldine Meyer. She is the Idaho Counselor of the Year. And Geraldine and Cindy, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And we're really interested to hear about the counseling program, but as well, Geraldine, about your recent adventures in Washington, D.C., where you were on national TV with Michelle Obama. So we're going to come back to that in just a moment.
That was really cool. And yeah, we want to talk about that. We want to hear the story, Geraldine. But first, from the National Weather Service, it's currently about 20 degrees outside. Sunny and blustery today is the word. And high of 27, mostly clear tonight, low 10 degrees. The clincher is high winds, 60 miles per hour, so a wind chill of minus 7 tonight. Thursday, sunny, high of 23, wind chill of minus 8 during the day. And Thursday night, mostly clear, low of 12. The other thing to note that on Saturday, we can expect 80% chance of precipitation, calling it wintry mix with a high of 33. But up on top of the mountain, what does that mean, Chris?
It means, I don't know, where are you going with that?
Beautiful snow.
Beautiful, nice snow, you bet. And actually, the conditions are really nice up on the mountain. Talking about other things going outdoors, Schweitzer has no new snow, but they have 64 inches on top and 52 inches mid-mountain. The avalanche danger out in the backcountry is moderate, so if you are traveling in the backcountry, please be careful. And I mentioned earlier that the night sky has been pretty glorious the last few nights. We've had some clear skies. Last night, the moon was a little crescent moon, and there was a huge bright star. It looks like a star, but it's actually Venus up there. And then a little bit dimmer than that was Mars. So we have a really interesting display going on there. Tonight, the crescent moon, the moon will be 24% full, so it's still a crescent. And it'll be up as soon as it's dark, and you'll be able to see Venus very bright. Can't miss it, as well as Mars, and they'll be kind of in a straight line. So I suggest folks look up at this night sky tonight because it's going to be a really neat show.
As beautiful as it is in the morning right now, it's that beautiful at night, too, yeah, with that little crescent moon.
And when we get the clear skies where you can enjoy it, it's really kind of special. And I wanted to mention what tomorrow is. What's tomorrow, Susie?
I don't know. What are you thinking tomorrow is?
It's Groundhog Day.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And according to folklore, of course, the groundhog's behavior can predict the rest of the winter. So theoretically, if it's a sunny day and the groundhog gets out and sees his shadow, we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter.
Is 6 more weeks good or not good?
Well, for skiers, it's pretty good.
Perfect,
actually.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of enjoy our winters here. Personally.
I know. It's beautiful right now.
So, that's what's happening outside.
Okay. Well, we could get to our interview with our very special guests, the counseling crew from Sandpoint High School and Lake Pend'Oreille School District, Geraldine Myers, you and Cindy Albertson, the head of counseling. And Geraldine, you are the Counselor of the Year. Let's just start there because I'm very excited. I saw you on TV and I didn't know who you were at that point in time, but I noticed you standing next to the right of camera right of Michelle Obama, and you were just in awe of what was going on. So why don't you tell us what that was like for you, how you got there, and all of the story.
Okay. It was absolutely amazing. It's one of those you can't really believe it happened to you sort of stories. I was very fortunate and was nominated by my principal, Mr. Albertson, and Mrs. Albertson, our head counselor, for the Idaho School Counselor of the Year. And I was selected to represent Idaho at the ASCA, which is the American School Counseling Association, Counselor of the Year celebration. And so there was a process, we submitted a video over the summer and answered some more questions. And I was selected to represent Idaho in Washington, D.C. for our annual conference. And it was really exciting. I was notified in November that I was selected and had the opportunity to go. And they said that there would be a celebration at the White House. And you think, okay, I'm going to be shaking the hand of the assistant to the assistant to the assistant Department of Education. But it's still exciting to get to Washington, D.C. and go to the White House. And so I really didn't know what to expect. And as it got closer, it was my first opportunity for us, for my family to go to Washington, D.C. And so it was a little bit of a family, you know, vacation too. And so as we, as it got closer, they would send you some more things and we had to go through security clearances to make sure we could get into the White House. And then we had the opportunity, they said that we would be present for the First Lady's farewell speech, her last speech. And she is an inspiring woman. She has done some initiatives for, she's done Better Make Room, Reach Higher. She's done I'm First, all sorts of things to help students think about life after high school and what's their next step on their journey, that education is obtainable for everyone and that it's necessary in, for many cases. And so she was just, you know, I've really looked up to her and the programs that she's been able to do and the initiatives. And so they let us know that we would have the opportunity to be in her, in, you know, for her there for her farewell speech. So I thought, well, that was great, exciting. And so the big day came on Friday and it was exciting. They brought in a Greyhound bus with school counselor of the year. And we got to travel, you know, around Washington, D.C. in this bus. And it was exciting for, you know, there were 45 school counselors there that were able to be, you know, from their states, representing their states. And we got through security at the White House and, you know, they had the dogs were sniffing the buses and, you know, you had to go through x-ray machine and checkpoints. And we finally were able to get entered into the East Wing. And we were all just like, can you believe this is happening? It's us. Really? Are you kidding? You know, I've never been here. It's amazing. And so we got in the to there and then they had us kind of in the East Wing and they had some of their White House staff tell us a little history of the White House, just some things. We were in the large dining area. And then they moved us kind of to the Red Room, and we were there, and they talked a little bit more to us about things. And then we moved to the Blue Room, which was sort of their staging room. And they had us line up, and then the staff kind of went through and mingled, moved some people and did some, you know, maneuvering and different kinds of things. And then the First Lady came in and addressed us as school counselors, and it was so inspiring. She is such a strong, beautiful, articulate woman. And she really knows what we do as school counselors. And she knows what students face. And she was so genuine. And it just was inspiring to be in a profession that is often not at the high glamour, the high priority, the high... And to have her appreciate and to acknowledge what we did was amazing. And just her genuine care and concern for the youth in America was staggering for me. And so then we were ready to go in and they marched us in and they kind of, you know, told us what risers to get on. And as we went, then all of a sudden I was like, I think I'm standing right where she's going to be speaking. Oh, no, don't cough. And then I think, oh, no, my nose itches. Don't itch your nose. I'm like, oh, no, keep it together. And then I could see her teleprompters. And the American School Counseling Association had chosen one of the counselors to represent us. And she gave a great talk about what school counselors do. And just and then the First Lady came in and presented her speech. And I was just caught up and emotional, you know, when she got kind of a little bit teary, I was a little teary and it was just...
We saw that, by the way.
We were all teary, Geraldine.
I just was right there with her and it was absolutely a one in a million opportunity and I'm just so, feel so lucky and blessed that it was me. So
you know, you were right in the frame with her And so you did well.
Okay.
You represented Idaho and Sandpoint well.
Good. I was nervous.
In the picture. So it's kind of funny because I was watching news feeds and I saw a story come across on Washington Post, and it had a picture of Michelle speaking, and I thought, is that Geraldine Meyer? Right over her shoulder. So I got in touch with Marcy at Pan Am Alliance for Education. I said, is Geraldine in Washington, D.C.? She says, yeah, she's going to be with the First Lady. And she knew about it. And so I grabbed it. And, you know, my day job is Sandpoint Line and Sandpoint Magazine. So I put up on Facebook, I put up a post with a link to the picture, you know, a link to the video, because the whole speech was videoed. It really took off really quickly. People were sharing it all around town, and it ended up reaching like 16,000 people. It was pretty amazing. But that indicative, I think, of the interest folks had that, you know, one of our own was there at the White House with the First Lady.
They let her in, really?
And was it my imagination, or did you actually get to give her a hug?
I did. She turned and she gave me a hug. And I know, my husband said, I kissed the cheek she touched.
Exactly. Well, she turned around and probably picked the most friendly-looking person she could find to give a hug to. And you were on national television. So that was probably pretty awesome for you.
It was amazing. And I personally don't have a Facebook account. I'm not a Facebook person. And my daughter was getting all these posts. We had exchange students that had met, that we had, you know, hosted when they were there, and they were Facebooking, is that your mom? We just, you know, in Germany, was that your mom in Washington, D.C. by the First Lady? So it was amazing how it went all over.
Yeah, it really did go viral.
So now you are a superstar.
Superstar.
That's your 15 minutes, or well, actually that's more, because I think she talked for like 18 or 20 minutes.
So. That's right.
And it was a beautiful speech, and it was very emotional, and I think that it was kind of apropos that she was surrounded by people who care so deeply about children, the school counselors from all over the country. And that leads me to a question about your experience there. Did you get a chance to spend much time with all the other school counselors and kind of share the shop talk?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, I really refer to the award as a community award, because one of the most exciting things for me to be there is when the First Lady was talking about her initiatives, she, you know, talked about a college signing day. And Sandpoint High School has been doing that for the last 8 years. She mentioned a first-generation college group. Sandpoint High School has done that for the last 6 years. The things that people are just catching up with, Sandpoint High School and our community has supported since this position was created. And so I really like to think of it, it's a community award. And because of what we've been able to do, the support in Sandpoint, and you know, it's not really just my award. I have an amazing group of counselors that we work together in our support from our district. So it was exciting to know that a lot of the things people are starting, we've been doing. But I learned some other neat, you know, things that are happening. There were quite a few elementary school counselors that were from different states, and that was exciting to see that, you know, we're working hard to bring elementary school counselors back in our buildings. But, you know, so there were lots of programs, and I think some of the things that we're doing in our high school really support our students, mm-hmm. not just for life after high school, but their social emotional growth as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add that our high school counseling department couldn't have asked for a better representative mm-hmm. of us. So we were so proud to have Geraldine be representing Sandpoint High School and Idaho as Counselor of the Year.
Yeah, this must have been a great experience for sure. So, Cindy, why don't you tell us more about what is the scope of our counseling program here in our schools?
Well, at Sandpoint High School, we have four counselors. Three of us are assigned, we are to grade levels. And then, of course, there's Geraldine, who her focus is on post-secondary transition. And so that would be anything about college, career development, technical programs, things like that. So the other three counselors, including myself, we have three domains in which we support students. and that is social-emotional development, career development, and academic planning. So those are the three, that's our, you know, large scope that we build our programs around to, you know, encourage students and help them in those three
areas. Let's dig in a little bit on each of those. Academic, I presume, is, I was a student once myself. I actually know. It's helping the kids plan out what classes they should be taking.
Classes, yes, in the here and now, but also the planning part as to what you want your high school experience to be like, and also to prepare yourself for life after high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
So it actually kind of leads into the career...
Correct. It's not just the here and now, yeah. I want to take art or something like that. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's a long-term plan. Each student has a four-year plan that is developed in eighth grade that they work from. Now, it can be changed throughout the years.
And I presume it does change.
It does change. Yeah. It does. Sure. But it gets them thinking about their future.
And also so they don't end up in 12th grade with a whole bunch of required classes, but they're really meeting those milestones to have the graduation requirements that they need for whatever they're planning to do.
Correct. Yes, that's planned out for each year of what the requirements are.
Do you find that the kids, I would guess that it's probably good for kids to explore their interests. They might not even know what their real interest is or where their real skills lie when they come in as eighth graders or ninth graders. Is there, what sort of format do you follow in giving them advice?
Well, we're lucky in our high school. We have a lot of high schools in Idaho, maybe the country, but in Idaho have lost programs called career technical education. But our high school is still pretty strong in that area. So those are areas in which students can sample. You know, they might want to try out culinary arts. They may want to try out the computer business applications, journalism. There's welding programs. So there's different 3D design programs so that they can sample those to see where their talents are and their interests are. So we really encourage students as they're making their four-year plan, building their schedule for the next year, is to be brave and try something. Because if you're not brave and you know, you're afraid to step out of your box, then you're not going to know what some of those areas are that you might really have an interest and a talent
in. Yeah, you discover that interest,
yeah.
Or you may think you really want to be a nurse, and once you do our health occupation class, you think, no, that's really not what I want to do.
I don't really like to draw blood or deal with those things.
Yeah. Or I don't really like that, and so it gives students an opportunity in high school to explore that and know, oh, that's probably one I'm not going to pursue later on.
Right.
Or I really do like it. I am really excited. Mm-hmm. We just had a student who just is graduating and was just accepted to medical school. So, you know, and they were in the health occupation class, you know, and really got to explore that. So
getting accepted to med, don't they usually go out and that comes later, usually, doesn't it?
Comes after high school. A previous student, right. They've completed their...
Oh, I see. Got you.
Their
four-year
degree.
In addition to the career technical classes, that we have many humanities offerings as well, including art, sociology, psychology.
Music.
lots of music with band and choir. And drama, so there's also that aspect that kids can explore to help them develop what they love and, you know, possibly a career.
I think also something like drama, music, band, it's not necessarily you're going to become a musician or an artist as your career for making money, but it fills out your life. You know, you have these other parts of yourself that are not just academic.
Correct.
That kind of balance things out and possibly brings, have you found that it brings the academic aspect up when they have a balance?
Yes. So when, definitely exactly what you said, that helps develop a side of their brain and a side of their sense of being a human to have those arts and the humanities. So it's really important for schools to include that aspect of learning.
And if you've just tuned in, this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And today we're speaking with Cindy Albertson, the head counselor at Sandpoint High School, as well as Geralyn Meyer. She's the post-secondary counselor at Sandpoint High, as well as the Idaho Counselor of the Year. And kind of famous.
Yeah. There we go.
Because you were just in Washington, D.C. and with Michelle Obama.
Just to get back to that just for a moment, it just dawned on me. Was it hard to come back to simple, plain, little old Idaho, of Sandpoint, Idaho,
no,
after all that?
It was great to be home. We had a fantastic time in Washington, D.C. They actually did a social hour for us, so we had hors d'oeuvres in the White House after the event and met a lot of the people that have helped Michelle Obama with her initiatives. I was taking pictures with famous people that I didn't know. So it was really, but to come home, there is just no place like home for me. Washington, D.C. was fantastic, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to see it, but mm-hmm. no place like home for me.
Did the other counselors have to kind of deal with Geralyn's fame and fortune? Fame, anyways.
Oh, at Sandpoint High School, we were ecstatic. Mm-hmm. It was, it was incredible to have her represent us. Yeah. We couldn't have asked for a better person.
Mm-hmm. Before the show, Cindy, you mentioned a source of strength is one of the cornerstones of the counseling department. Is that how you describe that?
Well, Sources of Strength is a program adopted by the State Department of Education, and it is a suicide prevention program. I just read an article in the Spokesman Review that Idaho was number 9 for suicide rate, and it moved up to number 5. Mm-hmm. So that's a little alarming. And that's not youth suicide, that's, you know, all ages. But so Sources of Strength is a suicide prevention program. And it's an upstream model. So it doesn't just focus on the risk factors of suicide, and certainly we talk about those, but it's what it really, the premise is that if there are 8 strengths that all human beings could have within them, as well as a community. And so what Sources of Strength does is highlights those 8 strengths and then helps make them stronger. So all of us are going to have good times and bad times. You know, that's just the way it is. So Sources of Strength helps you get through those bad times so you have more resiliency.
So what are some samples of the 8 sources?
So there is family support, positive friends, trusted adults, having medical access, mental health access, and I knew you were going to ask me, mm-hmm. so of course my mind is blank on the other ones. I'll think
but those are good samples.
Spiritual yeah, development, okay. mm-hmm. And generosity.
So basically those are like frameworks within the community that can help people.
Yes, and as well as an individual, mm-hmm. as well.
So we carry those strengths with us, helping a student identify those. Is that part of the
exactly,
program?
Exactly, right. So within our program, so that's a program, but we've had a mentor program for the underclassmen for about probably 11 years. So when we added Sources of Strength to that, we changed our mentor program. So the mentors, who are students, 11th and 12th grade students, this year we have a class called Connections, and so each of those mentors are trained in Sources of Strength, as well as some professional training on how to be a mentor, and then they have a group of students that's multiple grade level, that every student is in a Connections group, and then that Source of Strength mentor is also in there, kind of guiding them. There's also a teacher in there as well, so we do that once a month. And yeah.
So if someone had a peer mentor or one of the peer mentors, they have the training, they have the student or one of the younger students that they work with. If they saw something and something came up, they would know the signs to look for or to see, and then they would come to an adult and work with that.
Right, because breaking the code of silence with kids. Sometimes they feel like that they are betraying their friend if their friend were to tell them that they were really hurting or thinking about suicide or thinking about, you know, having really deep depressive thoughts. And before Sources of Strength, kids kept more of those secrets. So because we are trying to break the code of silence, that has helped exactly what you said, students being able to identify that a friend is having trouble and then be able to report it to a trusted adult. So that's something that's really pressed upon.
So how many kids are involved in the Sources of Strength program?
So our mentors, we have about 50 mentors, student juniors and senior, that have been trained. And so every year we will have 50 new students that are trained in as being a mentor.
And is this something the kids say, I'd like to help this way?
Yes.
So they self select themselves to,
they can
to participate.
And they're also nominated by peers and by the staff.
So it's really important for people that are in these gatekeeper positions, like these kids, take a kind of a gatekeeper position where they're just keeping their heads up for kids, other kids that may be struggling. But I imagine that's true with teachers as well, and all school staff, including even like the administration office, if they see kids that they may feel like something's off for them.
Oh, yes. And the staff had a couple of trainings in Sources of Strength as well. And it's helped everybody to have, you know, a wider view of kids and to be able to look at them and refer if they are feel like they're struggling.
Mm-hmm. And because these 8 points of strength that you mentioned, it seems like every student should know about those. So do you have maybe an introductory class that every student takes when they come into the school?
So in our Connections group, which all the students are in a group with a mentor, and so each of those strengths is highlighted in within the Connections.
So they do yes. get an overview, and they can reflect it on themselves, those strengths, and start to actually recognize them. They're coming out of childhood into an adult world, and those are the kind of things that can make a difference. I can imagine that even the mentors really benefit from taking on this project because that changes them.
Certainly, and I always say that the teacher learns the most, always.
Truly.
Yeah.
So those students are really learning. And it's not the Sandpoint Middle School has done some training, and Clark Fork High School has done the Sources of Strength training. So it's something that it's giving everyone a common language, and we're talking about those, and every classroom has the wheel with, you know, those different 8, you know, sort of hubs or spokes. And so that it gives everyone a common language.
So how long has this program been in place now?
Well, in our first training for Sandpoint High School was just last year. So this year is where we've really implemented it, you know, full bore. But I have to say it is supported by the State Department of Education. So there's the whole state of Idaho. I don't know how many schools are adopting it, but there is funding for schools now to be able to have that program.
Can you tell it's already making a difference, even though it's only been in place for a year or so?
It's changed the climate of our school to one where people support one another more, and also where they identify where somebody might be hurting and that they report it to a trusted adult.
That fast, that's amazing. So the actual culture and probably the mood in the school is one of caring and kindness.
Yes.
And you can actually feel that?
Yes, you can actually feel that. And we appreciate Tom Albertson, our principal, he's 100% has supported the program and has helped implement it. And I think his leadership has helped hugely.
You know, we got a lot more to talk about. But at this point, Susie, what do you think we give our guests a short break with a... You must have a song queued up.
I do. And this is someone whose birthday is today. I don't know if he's still alive. He would be 80 years old because he was born in 1937 on this day. His name is Don Everly. One of the Everly brothers. And this is the song, All I Have to Do is Dream. And we'll be right back at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we'll be back with our school counselors, Cindy Albertson and Geraldine Meyer, for more about that. But we'll hear the Everly Brothers, All I Have to Do is Dream. And that was the Everly Brothers, All I Have to Do is Dream. And we're right here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY for the KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie. We have very special guests. We have Geraldine Meyer, who's the Idaho Counselor of the Year and a superstar. She got to go to Washington, D.C. and meet and shake the hand of Michelle Obama. And we have Cindy Albertson, who's the head of the counseling department at the high school here in Sandpoint. We're talking about school counseling and what's going on with our students. And Chris, you had a question.
Well, you explained that you have kind of three platforms that counselors work on: academic counseling, career counseling, and social emotional. We were just talking about the social emotional part. I was wondering how the school stand now with bullying going on. I know that's historically it was a big problem. Can you give us an idea of, is this still a problem in the schools, and how do the counselors work with it?
So we do have, bullying policies at school that we follow very strictly. We take it seriously because we want students to feel safe at school. They need to feel physically safe and emotionally safe. And then when you have that feeling, then the ability to learn broadens and strengthens. So that's really important. So if students are, feeling like they're being bullied, then they can go again to a trusted adult, a teacher, or they can actually go to our administration who has an open door policy and really connects with students really well, that students feel like that they can talk to the administration about what's going on. And then the administration follows the policy as for that. But I do have to say that a lot of the bullying in this day and age is really through social media. And that, I have to say, is hard for a school to try to control. Because
it's not actually happening on campus.
No,
right.
It's happening a lot of times after school, not happening during the school day,
at night,
in the evening, late.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back to sources of strength with that, because one of the elements is to have resiliency. And so when there is bullying going on social media, students need to have some ideas of how to counteract that. Number one could be just delete it. Number two is to not take things so seriously. And, they need to have some resiliency, because you're not going to eradicate bullying on social media.
And because that can happen anonymously.
Correct.
So you don't even know who the bully is. Mm-hmm. This might be making fun of another kid.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if there's blatant, if it's face-to-face bullying, so there's some of that goes on, too, in classrooms that where kids might be calling another student a name, an inappropriate name, or derogatory remark. And so those types of things we want to know about as well. So sometimes I do have to admit kids feel like that if they tell an administrator that maybe the person making those comments might retaliate. So we really try to teach that is not what happens,
mm-hmm.
that, we really curtail that. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to add one more thing. We try to also teach students to be upstanders. And so when you see something going on that is harmful to another student, that you don't stand by and let it happen. You do something, whether that's reporting or whether you actually say, hey, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Or just invite the student to come with you.
Yeah,
get them out.
Peer pressures on those ages is really tough for the kids to work with, I know.
How much can the parents participate in anti-bullying and teaching their own children? I mean, are there any parent education classes as children go into the middle school? Geraldine, you're nodding. Where parents really are responsible to shelter their children through this and teach them good kindness, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think there are some great books and some great tools. Underground Kindness is in our school. They are doing some Facebook feeds talking about that. I think part of what they're also, you know, there's many opportunities for parents. I think so. Technology is a wonderful thing, but there was just another report talked about. They're calling it the electronic drug, and so I think it's helping parents at an early on set the parameters of, you know, so if they give their their 8 or 9 year old student has a cell phone, what are the parameters of it? That it's not in the bedroom, that it's plugged in at the kitchen at night, you know, that they don't. And I think at 8 or 9, a student will go to sleep on their own. But if they're used to that cell phone with them 24/7 or their video games or whatever, it's helping set those parameters. And I think some of that can certainly come from families, that it's, you know, a balance, that there's some electronic time and then there's some activity, some playtime, free play, you know, different kinds of things, or outside play, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's helping parents, and I think it's oftentimes helping students hear about a struggle they had and how they overcame it. And that, you know, there's a great book that we did as a counseling group, How to Raise an Adult. She talked about, you know, different kinds, sharing the trials that we had as our own as a parent and how we overcame it with our own students. And so helping students know that it's not always rosy, that we all have, you know, rough times. And what did we do to get through it? And who do we turn to?
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the school counselor's job to become the family trainers, how to be a family, but it sounds like getting the students at a young age and working with the families, it's a campaign. It's a national, I don't want to say problem, but it's a national thing that needs support, a national change in attitude.
You're talking about towards screens,
towards screens, cell phones, you know, and saying in family time, or you could call it family time instead of screen time. Mm-hmm. How to change that and have, as you say, a balance.
Right. Yeah, I think technology is here to stay, and I think we can't fight it, but I think we can work, you know, in balance. And, you know, I see it even just working with students for their, you know, finding scholarships, or there's so much information with technology that it's sort of, they become paralyzed. It's just, I don't even know where to start. It's mm-hmm. just too much. And so it's helping, you know, get through those steps. And I think it starts at a young age. And I think families need to model it when they, you know, go out to dinner, they put away their cell phones, or, you know, I think everybody can do a little bit.
Gerald, let's get in your wheelhouse a little bit more on
Cindy had a question.
Cindy, first.
Well, I watched a show on public television in Spokane, and it was pediatricians talking, and specifically about teens. And they developed a formula called 85210. And if families adopted that, we all need to adopt that. 8 meant you need 8 hours of sleep. So you figure out what time you need to get up, and then you know subtract so that you're going to bed at the right time. 5 was you eat 5 fruits and vegetables a day. 2 was 2 hours of tech time. They thought that was really important, not counting school, but when you got home, to really balance, you know, to have it be 2 hours and then you're done. The 1 was 1 hour of exercise, and 0 was 0 sugary drinks. So that 85210 is something that all families, all of us as people, should adopt to help be healthy physically and emotionally.
How many kids do you think are hitting these marks just kind of naturally with their home life?
You know, we handed out this formula in one of our connections groups to our students. And when I was training the mentors with that, they hardly hit any of those. Mm-hmm.
Even the adults.
And the thing that I liked about it is they were not aware of 8 hours of sleep. They weren't aware of, you know, because mm-hmm. that's kind of easy to implement that.
Yeah.
And bringing that awareness helps us all say, oh, I need to start making sure I have 5 fruits and vegetables.
I think I'm going to adopt that too. I'm probably pretty close.
I'm way off. I'm not even going to try my numbers.
Well, when you have a job that you're on the screen all day.
Yeah, I know. My tech side is
but this
just
is
like
for children.
Yeah, this is for children. Well, this is healthy for adults.
Healthy families.
Yeah, yes.
And every parent wants their child to have a healthy, good start in life, I'm sure.
Okay. So, Geraldine, I wanted to go back to you to get you to describe a little bit more what you do as in post-secondary counseling.
Sure. So post-secondary is is helping students think about what their next step is after high school. And our goal at Sandpoint High School is to have every student have a plan for what's next on their ladder. And so whether that's going to work to make sure that, you know, we've been able to help them with a resume if they want a resume, or if they're interested in joining the military, or if they're interested in a technical degree, you know, going to a technical trade program, or a two-year associate's or a four-year, you know, degree. And so we really are trying to make sure that we are helping students think about what comes next. And we're really lucky at Sandpoint High School. We have a supportive staff that, you know, next week our freshmen will be doing, in conjunction with the English teachers, all the counselors will be going in and working. We start with our 10th graders. They do a research paper. It happens in 9th grade as well. So 9th grade, the focus is sort of, what am I interested in? What do I want to be? What do I think I'm interested in as a 9th grader? And they take some assessments that we have, and just, you know, what are some of their strengths and how does that tie? In 10th grade, they can go, well, if I want to become a neonatal nurse, what are some of the steps? What do I need to do? Where would I go to school for that? What kind of a program do I need if I want to become a firefighter? How do you become a firefighter? You know, so they explore that. In junior year, they start kind of exploring some interviews and resumes. And then senior year, they have a senior project that they ties into, you know, what problem do I want to help solve in the world? And so we have a really supportive staff at Sandpoint High School, in that you can, students can change, but it just starts help planting the seed that what's next. And I think we have a very strong, you know, we have a great go-on rate. Our students feel success. And I think what's exciting that, you know, I talk about this is really as a community, and that, you know, there were people, you know, Ms. Cindy Albertson and Becky Meyer saw this as a need, and Panhandle Alliance for Education saw it as a need, you know, 9 years ago, and wrote a grant, and then our school district agreed that it was successful, and to keep a position available to help students think about what's next. And, you know, then not only to mention scholarships and applying for colleges and programs and all those kinds of things. So,
yeah. Yeah. And Panhandle Alliance for Education was instrumental in getting that program
Absolutely.
Going. That was a good piece of work from a community group. And I imagine you have some kids that you watch and see how they launch out into the world. Any standout that is pretty cool how they got into a career track? Or?
You know, it's so we've got two kind of fun things happening. We, as a staff, we just this year, under Mr. Albertson's guidance direction, we did a professional development day where all of our the educators at Sandpoint High School went out into the community and went to four of our local businesses and learned about what kinds of employability skills they're learning for, what are some of the changes, and really made the connection with some of our employers. And then we did a second day just last week and went to four new employers. And it was so fun because of those places, there was a Sandpoint High School graduate that said, well, I left, I did this, this is what I, you know, learned at Sandpoint High School, and this is what I'm doing in my career. Mm-hmm. And it was just exciting to see. And for some of the teachers to, you know, one young man was said, you know, one of the teachers, you probably didn't see me at my best in biology, but, you know, Mr. Gray in technology did. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing now. And mm-hmm. so it's really exciting. We took our first generation, our students that are kind of first in their family, and we did a tour to North Idaho College. And when we went in for lunch, there were two of our students who were in the program last year that were working, and they're at North Idaho College being successful. And we're talking to our students saying, if I can do it, you can do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was just, it's uplifting. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I think all of us have students that come back and share and, you know, tell us things that they're doing or bring in, you know, Ms. Sprinkle had a student that came in and introduced her two little children. You know, I mean, it's just exciting mm-hmm. to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Part of success as you go on in your life is possibly going to college or technical training or something in our own area. Mm-hmm. It just really depends on who you are and what you want to do. But the most important thing probably is that you are fulfilling something within yourself that is, you know, fulfilling and... I don't know, you find your place in life.
The purpose-driven life.
The purpose-driven
That's
life.
That's kind of a neat term.
Because someone might go to college for journalism and end up working in social services. because they found something in humanities of journalism in college. But you move forward and you keep finding your way. And we're so fortunate to have such enthusiastic people that care so much about children and their future at our high school in the counseling department.
Yeah, so. This is a good place to mention that next week is actually National School Counselor Week, right?
Absolutely.
So is there any kind of special observation that happens for that?
You know, I think whenever you have those national, not holidays, but national things like Administrators Week and that kind of thing, it helps, again, we're kind of the unsung heroes, but we're also the heart of the school. So that National Counselors Week just allows, brings awareness to the importance of our role, really, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how important, you know, instrumental we are in the education system.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are also counselors in some of the lower schools as well, the elementary and middle
school. We have one elementary certified counselor, and then our district has contracted with Kiniksu Health Services to help provide some counseling services at the elementary level as well.
And the upcoming school levy, the election is March 14th, actually. It includes an additional counselor position?
Correct. For elementary.
For elementary schools. Yes. Okay, because that's been a need. I think early on you mentioned there were counselors for elementary, and they got pulled back sometime during the harder economic times.
I was an elementary school counselor. That's how I started my career out at Sandpoint High School. In the district. Mm-hmm. And then when they were cut, I was able to go to the post-secondary position.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually an attempt to restore what we had going on earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think those can be very supportive, even in elementary school. Going back to the National School Counselors Week, do you have anything planned?
Well, we have a CARE group. They're called CARE, so it's parents that support our school in different ways. And they usually provide lunch and do, you know, a breakfast, I think, and just some special things like that.
Mm-hmm. A little celebration of right. the work you do. As you say, the heart of the school.
Mm-hmm. And, well, we're coming near the end of this part of the broadcast. Do you guys have any final words? Geraldine is kind of a, you know, national media star now.
Being with I'm going to get her autograph, by the way.
I said, no pay raise. It just comes with a pat and a plaque. But it was sensational.
And an experience. You can't put a price tag on the experience of going to Washington, D.C. and hanging out with the First Lady.
Hanging out with the First Lady. Yeah. Yes, having a band. It was really fun. Although I, of course, spent some of my time asking the band members how they, you know, how they got to where they were. And, you know, some of the White House staff, how did you get to be working here? You know, I'm always asking.
That's right, career path. Your career path.
Well, because it is, it's I think students don't realize that it's, you just don't know what your next steps are going to be. That one step may lead to something completely mm-hmm. different. You know, my undergraduate was in business, and I worked my first 2 years in the business world and realized I just didn't quite have that nail and seal the deal gene. And so, you know, I think it's...
That's the profit-driven life.
I just missed it. I missed it. And so I think it's helping students know that there's a variety of opportunities out there. I visited yesterday with one of a previous student who was running a nonprofit. And, you know, how did you get into that? You know, I think it's helping students realize that just you got to take one step forward and it will open a door and it will open another door. And it's okay to not know what you want to do with your life. That mm-hmm. I'm over 50 and I still don't know what I want to do with mm-hmm. my life sometimes. So it's okay.
That's part of the mm-hmm. part
the
of
journey.
The journey, part of the... I don't know. Actually, part of the wonder of being people is that we discover new things. Yeah, and you keep learning your whole life. Cindy.
And making connections is really important in life, connecting with other people, connecting with other students. And in our counseling department, we have such a great team that we have mm-hmm. Geraldine Meyer, myself, Deb Nussbaum, and Linda Sprinkle. So the four counselors at Sandpoint High School are there, willing and ready to help and you know, students and parents mm-hmm. access us.
Yeah, we'd throw that out to parents who may be listening. If you have kids that are working on any of these things that we've talked about, whether it's academic or career or emotional, social, you guys are there to work with the parents as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we have our two Amandas. That Amanda's our college career mentor, and Amanda Skinner's our registrar. They're there as well. The state of Idaho is now providing funding for college and career. They give every district a small pocket of money to really focus on college and career readiness. And I think a lot of that has been happening because of our area. We've been able to be a lighthouse district and show that this, when you have a dedicated body, things, great things can happen.
Mm-hmm. That's six women in our department. Did you notice that? And at the Washington celebration, there was one male counselor, and
no
the rest
kidding.
Were women.
Well,
I
you
noticed
know what?
That.
I think that goes to the nurturing nature that right. comes natural for women.
We need more men in the field.
That's my theory.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we really want to thank you for coming in and sharing your stories and the picture of what's being offered at our high school. How fortunate are we and our students? And we'd love to have you come back another time and continue the conversation, so we'll be in touch.
And thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Geralyn and Cindy. And Chris, let's have a song, and we'll say take a little quick break.
And we'll be back with some stuff going on around town, because, as usual, there's a lot going on around mm-hmm. Sandpoint.
This is the Beach Boys, Be True to Your School. And that is a fundraiser for...
It's a fundraiser for Angels Over Sandpoint.
That's the Follies.
Yes.
And the tickets go on sale when?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
And then there's a French film, Things to Come, at the Panetta Theater, Thursday through Saturday. Yeah, there's a fat bike takeover at the Western Pleasure Guest Ranch on Saturday and Sunday. And then there's a comedian at the Little Panetta, Comedy for a Cause, on Saturday. So you can check this all out on our calendar page on KRFY.org or on sandpointonline.com.
And we have recorded the whole interview that we had this morning on the morning show. You can go to KRFY.org and listen to it as a podcast later on, if within a day or so. And we're out of time, Chris.
We're out of time.
Yep.
And great talk, though, with those two counselors.
Oh, they were wonderful. I'm so glad they came in. And you can listen to the KRFY morning show every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8. We're going to go out with Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Bye now.
Bye.